summer of 1958, Abai went to call on Mr. Harbinslal, only to find that he had gone to the West. When Abai learned that Mr. Harbinslal was traveling not only on business but on a cultural mission, his imagination seized on the idea of an Indian on a cultural mission in the West. He wrote to Mr. Harbinslal asking for a place to stay, but also presenting his own cultural mission. Abai knew that many Westerners respected Indian culture. He had heard from his German godbrother that although Indians who went to the West, especially to Germany, were well received, they were sometimes tested on their knowledge of Indian culture. So Abai advised Mr. Harbinslal to teach the real conclusion of Indian culture as he traveled. This is from Prabhupada. I think that people need this Indian message in this hour of necessity, when the atomic bomb is hovering over the head of human society. Please, therefore, begin the activities for the benefit of all people in the foreign countries, since you have gone there. Clearly, Abai would have liked to have gone himself. Abai also reminded Mr. Harbinslal of his promise to provide him with an apartment. I am passing my days in Bombay in great inconvenience for want of a suitable residential place. But the letter never caught up with the touring Mr. Harbinslal. Wanting to go to the West as soon as possible, Abai visited one of his godbrothers in Bombay, Kripa Sindhu, and asked him to help. Kripa Sindhu. He came to my house and asked me to help him in going to America. He gave me some back to Godheads, which he said I could show to people to ask for help on his behalf. I tried to do something in this regard. I introduced Abai Babu to one man, a big industrialist, Hemraj Kandelwala. I went also. The three of us sat down and I told the man how Abai wanted to go to the West and how he was a good devotee and was writing and doing so many things. But somehow or other, the man did not help. Kripa Sindhu told Abai of how the Gaudiya Math in Bombay had sometimes been assisted by a pious business magnate, Mrs. Sumati Morarji, head of Skindia Steamship Lines. Abai tried to see her but was unable. He did, however, see one of Mrs. Morarji's employees, a deputy manager for the Skindia Company, who heard him out and, to Abai's surprise, responded generally. Considering Abai a genuine sadhu, the Skindia agent offered him a 50% concession on a voyage from India to the United States. He even put it in writing. Abai immediately began arranging for his passport and visa, but he could not raise even the half fare. Back in 1956 in Delhi, he had been struggling and homeless, and now as he considered his last 2 years of traveling out of Vrindavan, he felt that his position hadn't really improved. Perhaps Krishna didn't want him to succeed in this way. But one positive thing he had gained, determination to go to the West and preach. There he would surely meet with success. Now go to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, verse number 23. This is on the board. I'll read it through and then do the word by word. Pretty long. And it's not in verse form. So I'll just do my best to read it through. Iti havava sa jagati patir ishvarit chaya dinibeshita karmadikaro kila jagad bandha vamsana paranu bhavasya bhagavata adi purushasyangri yugala na varata jnananu bhavina parinandita Shaya Shayo Vedato Pimana Vardhano Mahatam Mahitalam Anusha Shasa. This is the word by word. Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus. Thus.
Bhavava.
Bhavava.
Indeed.
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 Sa.
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 He.
He.
Jagati Pati.
Jagati Pati.
The emperor of the whole universe.
The emperor of the whole universe.
Ishvara Ichchaya.
Ishvara Ichchaya.
By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Adiniveshita.
Adiniveshita.
Completely engaged.
Completely engaged.
Karma Adhikara.
Karma Adhikara.
In material affairs.
In material affairs.
Akila Jagat.
Akila Jagat.
Of the entire universe.
Of the entire universe.
Bandha.
Bandha.
Bondage.
Bondage.
Dvamsana.
Dvamsana.
Destroying.
Destroying.
Para.
Para.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Anubhavasya.
Anubhavasya.
Whose influence.
Whose influence.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Adi Purushasya.
Adi Purushasya.
The original person.
The original person.
Angri.
Angri.
On the lotus feet.
On the lotus feet.
Yugala.
Yugala.
Two.
Two.
Anavarata.
Anavarata.
Constant.
Constant.
Dhyana Anubhavena.
Dhyana Anubhavena.
By meditation.
By meditation.
Parirandita.
Parirandita.
Destroyed.
Destroyed.
Kashaya.
Kashaya.
All the dirty things.
All the dirty things.
Ashaya.
Ashaya.
In his heart.
In his heart.
Avadatta.
Avadatta.
Completely pure.
Completely pure.
Api.
Api.
Although.
Although.
Manavardhana.
Manavardhana.
Just to give honor.
Just to give honor.
Mahatam.
Mahatam.
To superiors.
To superiors.
Mahitalam.
Mahitalam.
The material world.
Material world.
Anushasasa.
Anushasasa.
Ruled.
Ruled.
Translation. Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrata fully engaged in worldly affairs. Yet he always thought of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are the cause of liberation from all material attachment. Although Priyavrata Maharaj was completely freed from all material contamination, he ruled the material world just to honor the orders of his superiors. Please repeat. Following the order.
Following the order.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Maharaj Priyavrata.
Maharaj Priyavrata.
Fully engaged in worldly affairs.
Fully engaged in worldly affairs.
Yet he always thought.
And he always thought.
Of the lotus feet of the Lord.
Of the lotus feet of the Lord.
Which are the cause of liberation.
Which are the cause of liberation.
From all material attachment.
From all material attachment.
Although Priyavrata Maharaj.
Although Priyavrata Maharaj.
Was completely free.
Completely free
from all material contamination.
From all material.
He ruled the material world.
He ruled the material world.
Just to honor the orders.
Just to honor the orders.
Of his superiors.
Of his superiors.
I didn't do it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Prabhupada's purport. The words mana, vardhano, mahatam, just to show honor to superiors, are very significant. Although Maharaj Priyavrata was already a liberated person and had no attraction for material things, He engaged himself fully in governmental affairs just to show respect to Lord Brahma. Arjuna had also acted in the same way. Arjuna had no desire to participate in political affairs or the fighting at Kurukshetra, but when ordered to do so by the Supreme Lord Krishna, he executed those duties very nicely. One who always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord is certainly above all the contamination of the material world, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana sadhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Maharaj Priyavrata, therefore, was a liberated person and was among the highest of yogis. Yet superficially, he became the emperor of the universe in accordance with the order of Lord Brahma. Showing respect to his superior in this way was another of his extraordinary qualifications. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17-28, Narayana Paraksarve Naku Tashtana Bibhuti Sarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apitul Yarta Darshinaha. A devotee who is actually advanced is not afraid of anything, provided he has the opportunity to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the proper explanation of why Priyavrata engaged in worldly affairs, although he was a liberated person. Also, only because of this principle does the Mahabhagavat, who has nothing to do with the material world, come down to the second platform of devotional service to preach the glories of the Lord all over the world. Om again, Tunanda Saranandana, Chalakaya Chakshat Nalikamina Tasmaya, Sri Guruve Maha. Words Mana Vardhano Mahatam, just to show honor to superiors, are very significant. Although Maharaj Priyavrata was already a liberated person and had no attraction for material things, he engaged himself fully in governmental affairs. But Maharaj Priyavrata was in the position of the ruler of the universe. And I recently saw a video of Prabhupada giving a lecture in Australia, I think in 1972 or 1974. And at the end of the lecture, one of the lady devotees, who of course was familiar with the philosophy and had read in Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada describes how Maharaj Parikshit was the emperor of the whole universe. He was the king of the whole planet. And Prabhupada describes in many places how in previous yugas the king could be president or the king of the whole planet. And he says formerly the whole planet was known as Bharatvarsha, the emperor would be emperor of the whole planet. And now Bharatvarsha refers, maybe in demigod circles Bharatvarsha refers to the whole planet, but as we know the world today, Bharatvarsha refers to India. And even there, just in very recent times, India was split. Bangladesh was split off from India, and Pakistan was formerly part of India just a few years ago. And now so in previous time, the whole planet was Bharatvarsha, and it was ruled from Hastinapur. So this lady devotee, she during questions, she asked Prabhupada, she said, I don't understand how one person can be king of the whole planet. You know, how is that possible? We find in our experience that somebody is the president or king of one little country on this planet, and they can't even manage one country. Never, there's so many problems, can't take care of everything in one country, even a small country. So she was expressing some doubt, like how could a person be emperor of the whole planet? Is this like Hindu mythology? Could this really be? And Prabhupada his answer was a definite yes. In previous ages, we all our experience is centered around Kali Yuga, and Kali Yuga being the worst of ages, people are very short-lived, our intelligence is very, very small, and our lifespan is very short, and so many bad qualities of Kali Yuga, and above all, our minds are always disturbed. So judging from a Kali Yuga point of view, yeah, how could one person be the king of the whole planet? Or in this case, how could one person, Maharaj Priyavrata, be the king of the whole universe? Of course, he's subordinate to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the actual ruler of the universe under Lord Vishnu, of course. But it's possible. And Prabhupada emphasized that point in his answer to this lady, this devotee, at the end. So anyway, that's one point. We may hear, there's so many things that we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam that sound very unbelievable. And they are unbelievable from our point of view in Kali Yuga, in this planet, or hearing about the spiritual world, Goloka Pandava. But so many things that we can't conceive of that are true, nonetheless. Even in this world, there's so many things that we can't conceive of, that all the different life forms, like at the bottom of the ocean, where there's miles and miles below the surface, there's no light at all, but there's living entities there, and they don't need light to live. And even there's places at the bottom of the ocean where like geysers of hot air are shooting up into the water at like 600 degrees, and there are living entities within there, so within that 600 degree water. So sometimes people would say, oh, Prabhupada, well, how could there be living entities on the sun? The sun is millions of degrees. And Prabhupada's response is, but just because you don't know how it could be, so many things you don't understand. There's life in every realm within this water. He would say that if you go in the ocean and try to swim, you can't last for very long. You'll be in desperation, and within a short period of time, you'll drown, even if you're a very intelligent, very capable person, very well off materially. But if you're in the ocean, you'll drown very quickly. But a little tiny fish, it swims in the ocean very happily, because that's his natural abode. You can't imagine living in the water, but a little tiny fish is very happy there. So many things we can't imagine that are true nonetheless. So Prabhupada's main point, and the main point of the verse, is that although Maharaj Priyavrata was a liberated person, he didn't have any attraction for material things. He didn't want to be the emperor of the world. He said no, and it took the Lord of the universe personally coming to ask him to take the job. And when Lord Brahma did come to personally ask him, then he surrendered. He said, just to show mana vardhino mahatam, just to show honor to superiors. So Lord Brahma obviously is superior. So King Priyavrata, he took that position, but even in the midst of that position, he wasn't attached to it. Now, generally, if you get a big position, a big rich man, powerful man, or a king, or an emperor, right away you're gonna be really attached. You'll be like, oh, look at me, I'm the king. Everybody comes and praises me, and they practically bow down to me, and always trying to appease me and asking me for favors. So I must be something pretty special. And you'll be attached to it. Any conditioned soul will be attached to any position, even if it's just a little position, even if you're just like the man, if there's like two people working in a business and one of them gets the position of manager, then he'll be proud. He'll be saying, oh look, I'm the manager, and this other person, he has to do what I tell him. So even if it's just one other person, what to speak of if you're the emperor of the universe, you'll be attached to that position. But unless you're a pure devotee, like King Priyavrata, and Prabhupada quotes the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. There's so many different kinds of yogis. Jnana yoga, karma yoga, raja yoga. There's all kinds of people practicing some kind of yoga these days. Some kind of yoga. Mostly it's just a bodily exercise class. And if it's presented as this is good exercise for you, then that's okay. That's good. But if you say you come to my class on Boylston Street and pay $50 a night to do these positions, and also by doing it you'll become advanced spiritually, then that's not true. That's a misuse of the yoga philosophy. For exercise, yeah, it's good exercise, but it's not if it's not taught in a bona fide way. Even like hatha yoga or any kind of yoga to be bona fide, it has to be taught by in disciplined succession. It's not like this anybody can take a course. They have courses these days where you go for a weekend or a week and a yoga teacher teaches you for a week, and at the end of it you get a diploma saying you're a bona fide yoga teacher now. So yeah, you're a yoga teacher, but you're basically just a physical trainer, a somewhat glorified physical trainer. So real yoga is, there is bona fide Ashtanga yoga, but Krishna says at the end of the sixth chapter, of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. After all, the word yoga, as Prabhupada explained, our word yoke, like the yoke, the big heavy wooden thing that goes over the necks of two oxen so that they can work together. They can walk together and work together because they're controlled by the same thing. They're linked by the yoke. So the word yoga means to link with God, to link with God. And actually the word religion is basically the same. It doesn't come from exactly the same word, but it has the same essential meaning. Religion means to tie together, like ligament or ligature. It means something that ties some together. So it's like the same meaning as the word yoga. I mean, you link together with God. So the only way to link together with Krishna is in devotional service. The only way to know anybody is to do devotional service. If I want to get to know you, I have to show some devotion to you. You will not reveal yourself to me or anyone else if somebody doesn't show you that they have some affection, some devotion, some dedication to you. Otherwise, you'll have an official relationship with them. At work, we surrender to the boss, or in social relationships, we go along to get along, as they say. There are so many ways we surrender a little bit in different relationships. But if you really want to get to know me, or if I want to get to know you, or anyone wants to get to know anyone, they have to show some devotion. So if that's true here, it's true, definitely true in relationship to God, to Krishna. We can come to know Krishna, but only by showing him that we're devoted to him. And that's the always abiding in Krishna with great faith, worshiping him in transcendental loving service. Then we'll be the most intimately united with Krishna and yoga, and the highest of all. So he was the highest of yogis. He became emperor of the universe in accordance with the order of Lord Brahma. Showing respect to his superior in this way was another of his extraordinary qualifications. And then Prabhupada quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28, a verse he quotes very, very frequently. Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashtana Vibhuti Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apituyarka Darshanaha. And he doesn't give the translation of it in this exactly as it appears after the verse of the Bhagavatam, but he gives the essence of the meaning of it. A devotee who is actually advanced is not afraid of anything, provided he has the opportunity to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the proper explanation of why Priyavrata engaged in worldly affairs, although he was a liberated person. So in this verse, Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu means whether he goes to the heavenly planet or a planet like this, or even if he goes to hell, which is astonishing, to say the least. If you say, I don't care if I go to hell, to Krishna, but then a pure devotee will say that and mean it. I mean, I can't say that and mean it. I can't say, I don't care if I go to hell. I just want to chant Hare Krishna and make garlands and worship deities. I mean, I understand, I can have like an intellectual understanding of the principle, but to actually say that and mean it is wonderful, astonishing. But Prabhupada emphasizes that, quotes that verse very, very frequently, and emphasizes the point, and that the devotee doesn't care what situation he comes in, whether he goes back to Godhead or has to take birth after birth in this material world to preach on behalf of Krishna, doesn't mind. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if I have to, I don't want to take birth as Lord Brahma if I can't live in the association of devotees. But I would gladly take birth as an insect as long as I'm in the house of a devotee. praise of your dog in the house of the devotee. So this is, these are very astonishing things that a pure devotee not only says but feels deeply. And then Prabhupada ends the purport also, only because of this principle of not, does a Mahabhagavat, who has nothing to do with the material world, come down to the second platform of devotional service to preach the glories of the Lord all over the world. So, and Prabhupada often described how the position of a Mahabhagavat, somebody who's in that position, a first-class devotee, that sees everyone else as serving Krishna better than him. And actually doesn't even consider himself to be a devotee. This is also astonishing. Something we can hear about and appreciate it philosophically, but to experience that can only a Mahabhagavat can say that. And actually feel that. We struggle to see each other as devotees. We minimize each other's devotional service, envious of each other. The karmis, the non-devotees, we call them the non-devotees, and Prabhupada referred to them in many places as the karmis, the non-devotees. But so it's not like we're making a mistake by referring to the non-devotees as non-devotees, because that's their activity, that's how they're behaving at the moment. But anyway, it can become a little confusing. But this is philosophy. And Prabhupada says that it's because of this that a Mahabhagavat, he has to come down to the second platform. Second platform means that you make distinctions. You see Krishna, you worship Krishna, try to love Krishna. You see the devotees, you serve with the devotees, you serve the devotees, and you see the innocent people who you can preach to, and you see the envious people who you don't even try to preach to. That's the distinctions that a second class platform devotee has to make in order to preach. Because if you're just going around saying, oh, you're a pure devotee, and you're a real devotee, I'm not even a devotee, so how are you gonna preach to them? So you have to voluntarily take the second class position in order to preach. Of course, we have no choice. We have to. We're in that respect a second class devotee, that we do make distinctions. So our duty is to preach. On order of the Mahabhagavat, our duty as aspiring disciples, devotees, is to preach. And is to, in order to do that, we make distinctions, but the essence is to give Krishna to other people. Yet, the whole preaching of Krishna consciousness is not that we have to convince anybody of anything. They'll be convinced if our preaching is nice, if we chant the holy name with sincerity, if we give them Prabhupada's books, especially if we invite them to come to the temple and they're impressed and enlightened in the spirit, transcendental atmosphere, they will be convinced. Preaching basically means just to give. That we go out to give the holy name, we go out to give prasadam, we go out to give the transcendental knowledge, primarily in the form of Prabhupada's books. And also in so many lectures and other ways we preach ourselves. But the whole process of Krishna consciousness is just like if a really rich It's like when the epidemic, the Ebola epidemic last, it's still going on to some extent, but at this time last year, everybody, all the news was Ebola. So there were people going from doctors and everybody going from all over the world to give treatment. So there's no question of charging for the treatment. The people were poor. They're on the verge of death and they're poor. They have no way to pay anything. But the whole point was just to give treatment. And in that way, the epidemic was alleviated and so many people were saved from dying. Many people died, but so many people were saved also. So that's the essence of preaching. The meaning of preaching is we have the solution to all the problems in the world is to give Krishna consciousness. The non-devotees, they have no ability to reciprocate in any way until they themselves become devotees, but they can accept it. They can accept the holy name. And even if they don't accept it, they are infused with it when they hear the holy name. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
I was just thinking about the example of Vasudeva Datta, how he created the portal of hell, just let everyone go back to water. And I think that this process which Krishna gave us, because Krishna is the most clever person in the world, he gave us the process of accepting the spiritual master and associating with the devotees. And when we saw the spiritual master, because that's the nature, like, if I know the person, like, I can see the person, I can see it, can associate, you become attached. And when we really realize, like, how much our spiritual master has given us, he's given us Krishna. But yet there is no such deep relationship with Krishna, but there is deep relationship with Guru and with devotees. So for that sake, like, we can see in abundant examples, like mother, she can sacrifice her life for her child, like President Ivan, famous singer in Russia. She, like, they found cancer. And like they said, if you do surgery now, there is a chance you will survive. But also, like, she was pregnant.
Nobody knew anything. The only thing they knew was here's this person who's magically appeared in our midst and he's wonderful and we just wanted to serve him and learn from him. And that's how we become a devotee.
It's just also, I just assumed
the
message about that. Because usually if you just start practicing the, like, your astrology class, and you're just teaching the philosophy, like, how to go back to God, then you really feel, okay, do I really want to go back to God to buy? And like that, like, the answer can come, I just know, like, especially at the beginning, yeah, because my spiritual master, like, this devotee, like, I like this devotee that, like, they say this is the goal. I want to go with that. I want to be there. That's why. Not because I know.
Okay, we'll stop there. All glories.